It's because God wants to drive a truth home to us, and He knows how much we need this. Verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Now, we saw it in different ways. If you go back to verse 1, for instance, He says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." I don't know if we have anybody to turn this system on. Can you notify? Is Ben in there?
Yeah.
It's on? Okay. Thank you. Our technician isn't here. Notice verse 1. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." And then again, we saw it in verse 10. "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And so there's a great emphasis in the Scriptures. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so there's a, first of all, an attending, and then a giving our ear, inclining our ear. You know how good it is when Christians take every advantage to get the Word of God any way they can. And my own conviction is, if I wasn't the pastor, this would be my conviction. If the church doors are open, I'd want to be there. I'd want to get the Bible. We need it. We need a saturation with the Word of God. We need it personally, don't we? We need to be in the Bible every day. So it's our meditation day and night, like you see in Psalm 1 and elsewhere. We need to memorize, I believe, Scripture. We need to know it. And as we're going to see, not just to have it in our head, but in our heart. It's good to study theology. I'm giving you different ways now that we can attend to it. In fact, a section like this, you get about as much out of it as you have an overall knowledge of the Scriptures, where you have a grasp on the whole counsel of God. So, and this is a lifelong thing, isn't it? The pursuit of wisdom in the Word of God. And so, how we need this. And notice this is an appeal, so it's very personal, it's very solemn, as a father to a son. "My son, attend to my words." In other words, listen to me now, because the things I'm going to say to you are very pertinent, they're very important. Let's compare 1 Timothy. This is Paul talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he has a lot to say to him in 1 and 2 Timothy, especially about the Word of God. Now, here's one place, 1 Timothy 4, in verse 13. Notice the emphasis here. 4:13. "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine," or teaching. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things." Now notice, "give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And of course that'd be the second aspect of salvation, sanctification, deliverance from the power of sin. But there's a definite connection between spiritual victory and being much in this book. There's a definite connection between spiritual decline and departure from this book. So it's wise. This is in the book of wisdom now. "My son, attend to my words." Now let's go over to 2 Timothy. Again, this is a spiritual father to a spiritual son. Notice the emphasis that Paul has in his second epistle, his last epistle, chapter 1 and verse 13, for instance, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." And then skipping over, notice in chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And of course, he's exhorting one who is expounding the Scriptures. "Give all diligence to show yourself approved unto God." Work at it. Be much in the Bible. And then notice chapter 3. You know these passages. In the day of apostasy, chapter 3, verse 14. "In the light of things getting worse and worse, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And then finally, I charge thee therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. And then later you have a personal note on the part of Paul where he says, remember the cloak and especially the parchments. In other words, that was his own strength. So, my son, attend to my words. Do all that you can to be diligently occupied with the Lord and his word. This is what will give you victory. Now, let's go back in Proverbs 4, in verse 20. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, you can tell. In fact, I can't remember who stated this, but this is a quote. Good indication of God's grace in the heart when the word of God is attended to and it's heard well. And it's a good indication of God's grace in the heart when the word of God is attended to and heard well. Now that's, if you've taught the Bible, you know, you can tell if people are listening or not, you know. And you can tell if they're drinking it in. There are some that feed on the word, you know, and they're glued in. Or you can tell if a person really doesn't even want to be there. They don't want to hear the word. And that's a danger. That's a red flag, you know, when they can't, they don't have the capacity to feed on the word. Paul, as he admonished the Corinthians, one of the signs of carnality was that they weren't able to feed on the word. And he said, you need milk instead of meat. You're like babes, not in the good sense of the word as new Christians, but unable spiritually. And the book of Hebrews chapter 5 talks about those that are of full age and who can feed on the meat of the word. The meat of the word is Christ. And so we want to have a capacity, don't we? And by the way, it can develop, can't it? We do have that in us that doesn't want to hear it. There's no question about that. There's the flesh that would rather be entertained. Isn't that so? In fact, a lot of churches are going to that just to keep the people. We'll entertain them. Well, there is a capacity in the heart of a child of God to feed on the Word and to grow spiritually as a result, to appreciate the things of God. It's a revelation of a person, isn't it? The person of Jesus Christ. And so it's very vitally connected to our relationship with Him. Now, when that connects, that's when the Word becomes precious, because it's a love letter from God. It's a revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear my sayings. Let it enter in. And that's not just a hearing with the physical ear. That's a hearing with the heart. That's where you're receiving it by faith and you're willing to obey it. Really, that's the way the Scriptures uses that word hear, with the ear. Okay, let's go on. Now, notice in verse 21, he says, let them not depart from thine eyes. So you have the ear, you have the eyes, and then he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. He's going deeper here. Now, you may be familiar with John Bunyan's book, Holy War, and you have the metaphor of man's soul. Okay, it's a city, if I remember right. And, of course, it's referring to a person. And in the city, man's soul, you have gates. You got the eye gate, and you have the ear gate. And the enemy, now, he's trying to get in the eye gate and ear gate. He's trying to occupy somehow. Well, we can guard the gates, can't we? We can guard what we hear. We can guard what we see. And if our ear is open to the Word of God and our eyes are upon the truth of it, we have it before us. It's a great guarding of our souls. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's a warfare going on. And the enemy would like to get in. You know, the media in America, I'm sure it's not as bad as Europe, but it's getting worse. You got to guard your eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I think upon a maid? But notice here in Deuteronomy 6:6, it's good to have our eyes on this. I should read verse 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. We'll come to that thought. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. That's where you get the phylacteries. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And that shall be when the Lord thy God, and he goes on, But do everything you can to have it before your eyes. Be exposed to the Scriptures as the thought. And I would take that most literally. You know, you put Scripture up or you, whatever you can do. You've got your devotional book there by your table, you know. You've got your Bible by your bed. You're taking all the means you can to get the Word of God before you, in your ears and before your eyes. Let's go to Psalm 119, verse 30. You know, if it is that way, and you're living in that realm of the Scriptures, then it'll come to mind during the work day, won't it? In certain circumstances, you'll be able to apply it because it's readily available to you. In Psalm 119, verse 30. Notice this. He says, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. In other words, I've got it right there before me. Now, you notice there is a choice. And you may recall Mary and Martha. We could all be busy like Martha. And it might even be the service of the Lord. It was for Martha. But Mary has chosen this one needful part, which shall not be taken from her. And so God will give it to us. It won't be taken from us if that's what we want. But don't let it depart from thine eyes. Be occupied with it. Don't be distracted. That's a trick of the enemy, isn't it? Oh, they may be a good thing. They may be things that are responsibilities that are legitimate. But we make a mistake if we neglect the Bible. It's very basic here, I realize. But it's the basic fundamental things where Christians go off. And so, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. I ask you a question. You can answer it to yourself. How many times do you read through the Bible in a year? Now, surely you can say once, at least once. Some I know read it twice. Some I know read it three times. But how many times do we read? And it's best to read it systematically based on the fact Paul said, I haven't shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So all Scripture is inspired by God. You can't just read the favorite ones, right? You know there's a reason for the major and the minor prophets and all that exhortation. God knows what we need. So it's a full diet. Your mom doesn't just give you cheesecake, right? You know, you need the asparagus, you know, and the broccoli and so forth. And so you need a healthy diet. The Bible will give you the healthy diet. And we need it all. We need the rebuke of sin and the warnings and so forth. But how much is it before our eyes? It's very practical. So you can say, oh, I know the Bible. Well, if we think that, we know nothing as we ought, according to the Apostle Paul, because there's not one word in this book that we fathom the depths of in its fullness, because it's God's Word. And so, besides, it isn't just an intellectual grasp, is it? It's a spiritual thing where the Holy Spirit gives us illumination, where we lay hold of that by faith, and where it's applied in the life. There's the challenge. So we need it. Get it in our ear, not departing from our eyes. And then we come to the really heart of the issue. In Proverbs 4, in verse 21b, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now keep them in the midst of thine heart. Psalm 119, I won't go there. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now the heart is the seat of the intellect, emotions, and will. You know, that's the inner man. So he's speaking metaphorically here. In fact, later we're going to see, keep thy heart with all diligence, verse 23. That has to do with your inner man, your inner spiritual state. And so this is where the word is getting beyond the surface. It's not just intellectual. It's not just something we read. You know, you can read it, and it maybe doesn't penetrate because it's not allowed to penetrate into the heart. Now, this is talking about not just that reception in the heart, but keeping it in the midst of the heart. In other words, you believe it, you love it, and you're guarding it right there. And you're not letting the enemy deceive you. He will try to deceive you, you know. He wants to try to keep the Christian from the book and keep the Christian from believing the book. It's a spiritual battle. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in Colossians 3:16. So a saturation, like the picture of the old sponge, you know, that really would hold a lot of water. You're saturated. Or John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will shall be done unto you. So we need to get it in the heart. Keep it in the midst. Let's go to Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, you have the mind, you have the will, you have the affections. And probably the emphasis here is the affections. And if something really gets into the heart, now that's where it changes the life. And it's one thing to know it. It's even one thing to have the will to, you want to do it. But if you love it, if your affections are set upon the truth of it, that's where it's changing you. And that's what God's looking for, isn't he? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Shalt trust the Lord with all thy heart. In Deuteronomy it says, serve him with all the heart. So God's looking for the heart. He's not just looking for superficial Christianity. And let's go to Psalm 119, for instance. Of course, this chapter is all about the Word of God. Psalm 119. And let's look at just a few verses here emphasizing the psalmist's love for the Word. Psalm 119, 113, because I believe this is the issue here. 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. And notice 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. And 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And then one more. 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now, if that's so, well, really, it's an outflow of love to the Lord who is revealed in the Word. And this matter of the heart indicates where we are with the Lord. If there's not that love for the Lord, love for the Word, then something else has gotten in there, right? Satan's working on that. He wants to get a wedge in there. And so we want to, yeah, we'll get to it. Keep your heart with all diligence. But here, you notice the connection. Keep the Word of God. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. And so, the ear, the eyes, the heart. So that's our first portion of this study. The reception of the Word is very important. It's fundamental. Okay, now let's go on to verse 22. Now here we see the benefit. Now if that's so, we get it in the eye, get it in the ear, and it's in the heart. Here's the outflow of that. Verse 22. Proverbs 4:22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now this is very interesting. And life has several different meanings here. Let's consider Proverbs 3:18, for instance. Let's compare. 3:18. He says, she, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Now that certainly would refer to eternal life. And it talks about the tree of life in heaven. And so we know we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1. And so God's Word will give life. He's begotten us again with the Word of truth, James 1. So it has power, doesn't it, to give life to as many as believe it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So it's supernatural, isn't it? That's why, you know, in witnessing, we can't trust our persuasive powers or anything in us. But it's the Word of God. You just hold forth the Word. They're called the words of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so they're living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I had a man in the nursing home, Charlie McNatt, he's with the Lord now. And when he realized he wasn't saved, He expressed that he questioned whether he had faith. He said, well, how do you get that faith? And I said, well, Charlie, his faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we just went into it again, and he did. He did trust Christ, and he was 89 years old. And so life comes. It's supernatural whenever you see it. So salvation, that's the beginning. God's word, they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, this thought of finding them, in Hebrew, it is they get possession of them. And so this is where you really, you believe it and you're holding to that. It's the truth and you really have it. Now, there's another application, I believe, that's legitimate. And that is that there is a life in the as a Christian of vitality that comes from the Word. In a certain sense, you could say you have as much life in you as you have the Word of God in you. And let me explain this further. Notice, well, Proverbs 4:4, I think, parallels with this thought. Proverbs 4:4, he says, "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Now, if as a Christian now, so you say you're born again, okay, I trust everybody here, born again. We've trusted Jesus Christ. And so we have that life dwelling in our hearts. But if the Word of God is dwelling richly and we're truly feeding upon it, there's a certain vitality that's imparted, isn't there? There's a certain growth and edification that's in there in the life. And so God's Word is life in that sense, where you're not spiritually dormant. You know, you're not spiritually anemic. You're not diseased, weakened down, but you're healthy. In fact, the context bears it out. Health to thy flesh. Life to those that find it, and health to thy flesh. So the whole man is affected by the Word. This is true. And now let's consider God's Word with the giving the vitality of spiritual life gives certain things that are related. And for time, I just have to refer, well, maybe we do have time. But let's go to Joshua chapter 1, for instance. Strength will be given if the Word of God is central in the life. Spiritual strength. For instance, John said, "I write unto you, young men, because you know him, and the Word of God abides in you, and you are strong. You've overcome the wicked one." So there's a connection. You are strong, and because the Word of God abides in you. Joshua chapter 1, this is an exhortation for Joshua, who's to lead the people of Israel into the land. Chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So there's a connection, isn't there? The other day was with the Williams, Charlie and Joanne. Charlie had a scope there. Well, he had cancer, you know, tumor. And they had, with radiation, shrunk it, and with chemo, and then they went in. And of course, you don't know what you're going to see when you go in. And I noticed Charlie is a change in him, because I believe he's got his faith in the Lord now. And he was trusting in the Lord before that procedure and after the procedure, which went very well. And they clipped out what was left in there, and he attributed it to the Lord. But there's a strength that the man had that he didn't have before, a spiritual strength. And it's true, isn't it? And God gives that. For instance, here's another connection. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's true, isn't it? If you're in the Word and you're like Jeremiah, "The Word is found unto me, the joy and rejoicing of my heart," and it brings you into fellowship with God, there's a strength in the inner man. Though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And it doesn't matter, you may be getting old. We're all getting older, aren't we? And so, and the infirmities increase as we get older. I remember Pastor Black, when he would visit us, he lived to be almost 102, and he would visit even when he was older as a missionary. And by the way, he served on the mission field until he died. And he still taught Bible classes something like three times a week. But I noticed something about him. He's always up early with his devotional time in the Word whenever he was in our home. And you knew where his strength was. And he used to sing to the kids, "I have the joy, 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 joy." If you know that song. And he had it. And he communicated it. But he had it because he was in the Word. And he was in fellowship with the Lord. And he knew where his strength was. So the point is, the Word of God is life unto those that find it. Health unto thy navel. Some other thoughts connected with this life, spiritual life and vitality, were Paul, when he left Ephesus, of course, their hearts are sorrowing and probably thinking, this is terrible, we're not going to see him again, because that's what he told them. He said, "I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified." And so God's word will build you up. And also, Psalm 1, you know that one? A man of God, he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. And he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. His fruit will come in due season. In other words, there's vitality of life and there's fruitfulness there because of being in the Word. And then there's other places. Comfort by patience and comfort of the Scriptures. You might have hope, Romans 15:4. So the point is, there's a vitality of spiritual life. How much do we have it? And by the way, you can't live on yesterday's meal, right? I'm assuming you had breakfast and you'll probably have lunch. Usually we don't miss a meal, do we? In America at least. How about the spiritual meal? You can't live on yesterday's, right? You need the constant renewal that comes from the Scriptures. So it's a wonderful revitalizing that can come through the Word and through prayer as well, equally. Okay, let's go back now in Proverbs chapter 4. So they are life, the Word of God is life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh, literally to the whole body. Now this is interesting. Let's go back to Proverbs 3:8. Speaking of wisdom, well, let me read the context. 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. It'll affect you physically, even. And it will. And I've noticed that in the nursing home. I told you recently, I think, about Sandy Hobbs, a lady. And she came to the services, her and her husband, Sunday afternoon. And then one day she told me, "You don't know what you've done for my husband and I." And it's one thing to know these things. I knew him before, but to believe it, it's altogether different. I could tell there's a new joy there. And the same day, she hadn't walked for a year and a half. Very large. And the same day, and she'd been going through therapy, but wasn't able to do it. She effectively walked. And not that I don't believe in faith healing. Don't misunderstand me here. But I believe it now that when you have things right with the Lord and you have spiritual vitality, it'll affect you. It'll affect you physically. It will. And I'm not saying we're all going to get sick and die, right? But the point is that it will overall have a good effect for the life that now is and that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness will have that benefit. So the whole man is affected. You know, it's not like the Gnostics believed that your spiritual life is one thing and your physical life is divorced from that. And so it doesn't matter what you do with your body, immorality or whatever. It's all connected, right? You're body, soul, and spirit. And so if you are spiritually strong, it has a good effect upon your body. If you are, let's turn it around. Now, if you're physically sick, it's hard to pray, isn't it? It can be difficult spiritually because you're a unit, is the point. And so if there is a growth and the Word is dwelling in you richly, you have joy, for instance. Well, even the doctor, even a medical doctor, I believe, would acknowledge the fact that a person who has faith and who has the peace that flows from that, it's good therapy for their body. It's true. You know, if you can reduce your anxiety level by faith, and it comes by the Word of God. If you can, reduce your hypertension, by looking into the Word, well, that's going to have a good effect upon you. So it's health to thy flesh. It isn't just metaphorical speaking here, but it's going to have an effect on the whole man. Okay, let's go now to this key passage we want to finish with in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, this is a very key verse in the book of Proverbs, or in the Bible itself. And this word for keep has to do with watching. It's a jealous guarding of. There's certain things you want to guard in your life, right? If you go away on the vacation, I'll bet you lock the doors in your house. If you you lock your car, right, when you're away from it, you don't want anybody to steal your assets, right? You guard certain things, and hopefully you're guarding your health. Well, this has to do with our spiritual state. Keep thy heart. There's a certain sense of responsibility here. We want to guard this. We want to guard that inner man. We want to guard that inner spiritual state. Now, with that, there's a certain premise behind this, no doubt, where you're conscious of that. You're cognizant of the fact that you've got, okay, there is your spiritual state, and you want to protect that. Now, keep thy heart. It's very interesting how this is put here. The heart being that inner being, the inner life, that's what you want to guard. The seat, again, of the intellect, the emotions, the will. We touched on this earlier. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Deuteronomy 11:13 says to love Him and serve Him with all thine heart. God's looking for the heart. And essentially, it has to do with our relationship with the Lord. Because that's what those verses touch upon, right? So that's what we're guarding. We're guarding our heart relationship with the Lord. Now, I realize there's other things involved in the state of your heart. But it comes down to being right with the Lord. Now, in contrast to this, Proverbs 11:20. Well, let's go to a couple of these passages. Proverbs 11:20. They that are of a froward heart or perverse heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are His delight. So such a thing as a perverse heart. Let's go to Proverbs 14:14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now, our salvation, of course, is eternal, but there is a backsliding that can happen, right? And God will deal with that. But it doesn't happen at first on the outside. It happens on the inside. That's what he's saying. Keep your heart. And the backslider in heart. So already the heart's going out to the world. It's like the Israelites, not content with the manna. We remember the leeks and the onions and the garlic. We remember how good we had it back there in Egypt. And a Christian can do that, right? Because sometimes there's some suffering. We heard that yesterday. I appreciate that testimony and devotion that Pastor Cliff had. And there's suffering in the ministry, but then there's perseverance. A person in the Galts did that. But it's possible to go through the trials and to not bear it up well, right? To get hard, to get bitter, to not keep the heart soft and pliable to the Lord. So keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, some other passages that we just referred to. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." Psalm 24:4 talks about the pure heart also. That's one who can abide in God's presence. And so it's important to keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, the thought here is keep thy heart above all keeping, literally. Above all things that are to be guarded, keep the heart. Now, there are some other things to be guarded, by the way. The Bible talks about, in fact, in the following verses, it talks about pondering your feet. Ecclesiastes 5:1 talks about the feet being kept. As Psalm 34:13 refers to keeping the tongue. That's a tough one. We're going to come to that one next also. And that's a sign of a mature believer, by the way, a perfect man, Book of James, a mature man, who can guard the tongue, keep the eyes. But above all, keep the heart. Above all keeping, keep the heart. And sometimes those inward, unseen things are the last thing we keep. You know, it's kind of like prayer. I'm reading a book now on prayer. It's very good. And it talks about how prayer is neglected in churches. We've got to have another committee meeting. We got to organize. Let's have some growth rally or whatever. Instead of realizing it's the inner life, it's the seeking God, it's seeking the Lord with the heart, trusting the Lord. These are the issues. This is the issue here, brethren. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Guard that. How much do we love the Lord? How much do we trust the Lord? How much are we in tune with Him, in agreement with Him? And now, he says, out of it are the issues of life. You've heard of William Harvey. He discovered the circulation of the blood that came from the heart. That was in the 1700s, and it revolutionized medical science. You know, before, I don't know what they thought before that. but now this is written about 2,800 years ago here. And the Bible's always up to date. It's way ahead of science. And God created science, and He certainly created man's body. But spiritually speaking, the heart is also central in the spiritual life. The heart is central in the physical life. The blood circulated, right? I've noticed that when I'm with people that are dying. You know when they're pronounced dead? When the heart stops. Everything else can go, but the heart keeps going. They're still alive. Well, keep your heart spiritually now, because that's the central part, and out of it are the issues of life. The outgoing, the springs of life. We have a well here in this building, and we have certain regulations through the EPA. Ray does it. He does a lot of things that are in the background that are necessary. And one of the things he does, I think, don't you do annually? You got to chlorinate the well. So if you ever notice, if you ever smell a little chlorine, it's because of that. So it's not that you just chlorinate the drinking fountain, you chlorinate the faucets, you know, and you get things clean. You got to go to the heart of the issue, right? That has to be right. And then the outflow is going to be right. Well, spiritually, if the heart is right, the outflow of life is going to be right. Out of it are the issues of life. Whether it be negative or positive, if the heart isn't right, it's going to come out. If the heart is right, that's going to come out. And let's go to Matthew, for instance, chapter 15. Now, you know that passage in Jeremiah, the heart of man is desperately, deceitfully wicked. And who can know it? Above all things, it's desperately wicked. So it has potential for evil. But then, of course, if God's grace gets a hold of it, it's great potential for good. In Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So the thought is, the Pharisees, you know, and their outward, they were very meticulous to observe the traditions even above the law. But they're missing the issue, really. A matter of the heart. Let's go to Luke 6:45. Now here you have the positive and negative that can come from the heart. Luke 6:45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now that's true. It's going to come out, by the way. Whatever's in the heart, eventually that'll come out. And it'll come out in the action. And by the fruit you shall know them. Now consider this. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his heart, really as a thought, shall flow rivers of living water. So if the Holy Spirit is controlling the heart, that's where there's victory. By the way, you and I can't do it. We can't keep our heart with all diligence apart from the grace of God. Any more than you could see in the book of James chapter 3, no man can tame the tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can control the tongue. Well, only the Holy Spirit can control the human heart too, because it's like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I desire to do good, but there's that which is within me that wants to go the other way. I'm poorly quoting that. And so there's an inward battle, isn't there, that's going on. And who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to talk about the sin nature's been judged through the cross and the impartation of the Holy Spirit. If we walk after the Spirit, the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. So this would be true here, looking at a broader view here, scripturally. How are you going to keep your heart? By the grace of God, by looking to Him in faith and prayer, right? By staying close to the Lord, and He's the only one that can guard that heart, just like He's the only one that can save you. It's a matter of faith and constant dependence upon Him and constant distrust. In fact, self-distrust, where be not wise in thine own eyes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. So it's not a matter of what we can do. It's what God can do as we're trusting Him. But there is a diligent guarding, isn't there, where you don't allow certain things to get in the heart and lodge there. You know, you don't allow those darts from the devil to get advantage of you. And you're guarding that heart. And you know we want to be open that way, don't we? Like David, Psalm 139, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. In other words, you be the judge, Lord, and don't let anything be there that's going to be unrighteous in thy sight. And that's a constant self-watch, isn't it? And let's go to one more passage here in closing. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Put it a little bit different way, same thought. Deuteronomy 4, 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. But notice that. Take heed to thyself, keep thy soul diligently. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. So what's the state of our hearts? It's a personal thing, isn't it? Nobody else can see that. Your spouse can't even see that. It's between you and God. God sees it. In fact, God knows it better than we know it. So it's good to lift it up to the Lord. By the way, you know, with that self-watch, you want to make sure the focus is Jesus Christ. Right. I'm looking at a broader view of the scriptures here. You don't want to just look at your own heart, because you might get discouraged. But if you look at Jesus Christ, the eye affects the heart, right? And you're changed from glory to glory by occupation with Him, and He's the only one that can keep the heart. Well, in conclusion this morning, how important it is that we attend to, give an ear to, have the Word of God, have our eyes set upon the Word of God, and that it gets into the heart and it's in the midst of our heart. And how important it is, how we react to this book, that we would be in it and that we would get the maximum benefit that comes from this book. And I believe that takes a certain attention, a certain priority. It is a choice. You know, it's a choice on the part of the Christian where this is what I want. You know, I want wisdom. Remember, the book of Proverbs is more valuable than rubies, more than much fine gold. You know, as a young person, you're setting your course in life, right? And some would say, well, you get the good job, you know, and you get this everything set up on the outside, you've got it made. Well, wisdom is the main thing with all thy getting. Get wisdom, right? It's better than the job. I'm not saying there should be a neglect in that area. We need to be responsible. God intended that. But surely there's a matter of priority, isn't there? Where there's wisdom. Christ is wisdom, where this is foremost, and we choose it, and we're getting all we can. And then the benefits will flow. There'll be life. Life to those that find them. Health to their flesh. Eternal life, of course, but vitality is spiritual life. So how much life do we have? And how much are we reaping the benefit? It's really dependent upon how much of the Word's getting in our heart. And we always need to grow, don't we? We need more. We need that vitality. We need Christ to take over. And we need His energizing to have the victory. And then finally, keep thy heart. It's a key passage, key thought in the Bible. Guard it. Watch over it. There's something very valuable there. And everything's going to flow from that. What's the state of our heart? Are there some issues to deal with? Sometimes there are, you know. Sometimes, like the Bible says, you need to come to God with words. Talk it out with God. Sometimes we need to do some confessing. And sometimes we need or maybe there's burdens. We need to pour things out to the Lord. Commit it all over to the Lord. But so important, that heart, that state of the heart, that be kept fresh, you know, spiritually open, pliable to God. Let's pray. Father, how we thank Thee for Thy Word. In this book of wisdom, help us to grow in it. Search our hearts. May our hearts be right with Thee. Father, we ask that You would meet, you know, whatever the need may be, each individual. We thank Thee for Thy love and grace, and as You know, You want to meet the needs of the heart. We thank Thee, Father, that You do so through Your Word and by Thy Spirit. And may Your blessing be upon each one, Father, today. And we pray that You'd enlarge our hearts to know Thee in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen.